Okay, welcome to week number five, the final session in our series. Unfortunately, not enough people have an interest in ping pong, clearly, or that there's already summer next week, so no one wants to come back. But this week we're talking about movie watching. The truth is, some of what we talked about in terms of watching sports last week is very relevant to this. Beyond that, I mean, that's some of the overlap. We did talk about, in general, spectator events, spectator sports, and some of the concerns that halacha, and certainly at least in the times of the Gemara, had with certain spectator events where people would get together and, you know, wildly cheer as something violent happened on screen. There is what to take out from last week, but I figured we'd talk about today specifically, and more of a discussion style, to talk about watching movies in general. We have some practical halacha from Rav Stav on the last page. We've got some impractical halacha at other parts. I honestly, there could have been many sources that I could have opened up with that are anti-TV, anti-movies, anti-internet, anti-sports, anti-whatever. I could have opened up with them. I wanted to open up with a very interesting tshuva that I wanted people to read in advance of going through the shiur. It talks about watching movies that don't have inappropriate content. Okay? And this is from Aseh Lecha Rav. Does anybody know who wrote Aseh Lecha Rav? So it was written by a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Chaim David Halevi. Rabbi Chaim David Halevi was a famous Israeli rabbi. He was the Rishon Lezion the chief rabbi, actually, not the Rishon Lezion, the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv for a long time, and other places as well in Israel. He was part of the Rabbanut Rashit. He was a very, very big posek, and quite a modern posek as well. And that's why I thought it was, an important source to bring first to open the discussion. And he's actually writing here to a yeshiva bachar. I copied out the entire tshuva because I thought the context would be very relevant. And I think something to read through. So, Karati michtavcha miyom chavtet sivan dana. I read your letter from this 29th of Sivan. Vavinoti she'ata lomei Torah ba'yeshiva. And I understood from it that you're learning Torah and yeshiva. Ashrecha she'zachita listofef be'ohala shel Torah. He says, lucky you, this is so wonderful what you're doing, that you're taking part in learning Torah all day. Hinei ma'achel lecha she'tizkeh liyot gadol b'Yisrael, l'tiferet b'Torecha v'chol b'et Yisrael. And I wish you, I bless you, that you should be zochet to become a gadol b'Yisrael. It will share the beauty of your house, and etc., your parents. You should give a lot of nachas to your parents, give it a lot of nachas to all of Klal Yisrael. Okay. L'she'elatcha, now for the question that he asked from, that this person asked in his letter. Imutar lalechet lekolnoa mechubad she'eno mevi sratei to'eva v'chulei. If it's permitted to go to a, mechubad, there's not really a good way to translate this into English, but a proper meaning, it's not a run-down, low place for the dregs of society. It's honorable in some way. It's a movie theater, but it's not, again, being, it's not having all the, worst people hanging out there. She'eino mevi sratei to'eva, and it doesn't have, they don't play, dirty films. And he says, Ashivcha bepasuch echad. He says, I'm going to respond to you with one pasuk. Quick question, quick answer. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach b'moshav leitzim lo yashav. Okay, quotes the first pasuk of Tehillim. Right? Which is that praiseworthy is the person who doesn't sit in a moshav leitzim. Okay? Mahu moshav leitzim. He says, what is a moshav leitzim? We say, praised is the one who doesn't sit in it. Shanu rabotenu, our rabbis learned, ha'olech li'it stadion milchamot shvarim. Okay? Which is bullfighting. Okay? If someone goes to the stadium to watch a bullfight. Ulevei taschok, to a comedy bar, or the equivalent thereof in those days. Ulacharkom, which was some camp of besiegers, again, which they used to have entertainment there in those days. Ra'at ha'nachashim v'etach chavarim. I don't know what these things are, but basically some sort of magic performers. Harei ze moshav leitzim, that's what moshav leitzim is. V'aleim ha'katuv omer, ashrei ish asher lo halach, ki b'torat Hashem cheftzo. What should a person rather be doing? They should rather be focused on their Torah. Halamadata, you have learned Shedvarim Elem Viimet Adam Lidebi Tul Torah. Ad Kan Lashon Rabotinu. What do the rabbis say from this? We learn that these things, okay, the Eitz Tadyon, the Veitas Chok, the Charkom, these things lead someone to Bittul Torah. Okay? Ki Yadu Rabotinu Ba'omek Chokhmatam She'af Kibidvarim Ela In Shum To'eva. The rabbis knew that even though there was nothing wrong with a lot of these things, obviously you can't read him as saying there was nothing wrong with some of the things that they were doing in that Gemara, because as we read last week, there were a whole lot of things wrong with what they were doing there, right? We talk about, you know, people should be able to go, people should have a heter to go to these places so they can save the Jews who are being murdered. Obviously that's a little bit worse than Ein Bahem To'eva, I think that's To'eva, but he's saying many of these things didn't have To'eva in them. What was the concern that the rabbis had? Okay? Even though they knew there's nothing wrong, af al pichein, heim petach levitul Torah v'asurim heim, this is an opening to Bittul Torah, and therefore they are asur. Okay? V'darash Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, and Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi darshin, ashrei ha'isha shelo halach. Okay? Again, praised is the man who did not go. V'shema yomar adam. Maybe a person will say, ho'el v'lo halach dilavate tiatrot, uvate karkasiot. Lest someone say, maybe someone will say, says the Gemara, I didn't go to theaters, I didn't go to circuses, I didn't go to animal performances and animal fights, I didn't go to Raptors games, I didn't go to Leafs games, if I knew I was to go to Leaf game, I didn't go to Blue Jays games, and maybe someone will say, says the Gemara, Elech v'etgareh b'sheina. Okay, so I'll take a nap instead. I'll just go and rest, take a nap, instead of going to the Raptors game. By the way, those are very strong competitions some days for me. Nap or Raptors game? Either way, says the Gemara, Talmud Lamar Ki Mitarat Hashem Cheftzo, comes the Pasuk to tell us, Torah. Me'ata, says Reb Chaim David Alevi, okay, afilu sheinami ever lamashenachutz livriat haadam he begeter bitul Torah. This Gemara, this following Gemara, which says, if you think that you say I'm such a good person, I didn't go to the circus, I didn't go to the theater, I didn't go to anything, and you go to sleep instead for fun to sleep the whole day, well, that's just as much bitul Torah, says the Gemara. So now this is what he says. Obviously, again, you got to rest in order that you should be fit, that you should be healthy, and he goes on to, again, you know, talk about all the values of sleeping properly, right? It's true, a person needs to, again, refresh themselves and you know, keep strong. And he tells us, as we've mentioned in previous weeks, in Shmona Prakim, in the fifth chapter, the Rambam talks about how important some of these things are. But this can be done in other ways, and lav dafka, it doesn't specifically, or shouldn't specifically, be done by watching movies. Derech Mashal, he says, what can you do instead of watching a movie? Tiyul katzer begun v'chadome. Maybe you take a little walk in the park. York Hill Park, you can take a long walk in the park. Doesn't even have to be a short one. In shum hevdel, and he continues. So he says, basically, there are better ways to use your free time than to go watch movies. Now, in terms of what we know so far in this series, is there anything terribly wrong with watching a movie at this point in the tshuva?
Doesn't sound like he was comparing it to a nap.
We're talking about useful things to do in your spare time. This goes back to week one, it goes back to last week. And who's he writing to, right? Let's remember this. What's his opening line? I see you're a yeshiva guy. Right? We're talking about a good use of time for a yeshiva bachar. Now, what's a good use of time for a yeshiva bachar? He says, go learn Torah. Don't take extra naps. You want to take a little break? You need to clear out your head? Fine, go take a walk in the park. You don't need to be going to movies. That's what he's telling him. So yes, movies fall under Bittul Torah, but we spoke about when the Gedarm of Bittul Torah apply and when they don't apply. Is it the best use of a lot of people's time to watch a movie? No. Are there plenty of other potential problems with movies? Yes. We're only talking about Sratim She'in Bahem To'eva. We're talking about movies that we would consider, you know, halachically appropriate for someone to watch. But at the end of the day, is that a good, really a good use of people's time? No. Okay. And you were going to ask.
No, just a quick question, because Am I reading this correctly and translated correctly that it would lead to Bittul Torah rather than it is Bittul Torah?
So that's correct. Like so he flips back and forth, but yes, Mevi'im et ha'adam liv debi Bittul Torah means leading. Because what happens is you get distracted with what's going on. And after the movie, he would say, or after, again, whatever circus or stadium or whatever game you watched, you'd be like, ah, in this movie, the movie that I saw last night, it was great. And that causes more and more Bittul Torah.
Right.
It in and of itself is no more Bittul Torah than whatever other activity you'd be doing. We have to follow the rules of Bittul Torah that we learned back in chair number one.
Right.
Right? That's crucial to this.
Yes.
But again, it doesn't mean it's the best circumstance. Whether it falls into Moshav Leitzim, and Moshav Leitzim is something beyond Bittul Torah, something that we discussed a little bit last week. And we said it really depends on the feel, on the atmosphere, right? For example, you know, I was at my in-laws on Matzah Yontif, so I stuck around to watch a little bit of the Raptors game while I was there. And I was wearing my suit still from Yontif. I hadn't changed out of my clothing. And my father-in-law said, "Oh, you're wearing a suit," right? Now, sometimes games are suit atmospheres. Business partners all are going to the games. And oftentimes, it's done in a very mechubad way. Not everybody is completely trashed, right? Other times, you know, the atmosphere is horrific. It really is an atmosphere of Moshav Leitzim. And that's one of the things we talked about last week. And it's also something that's relevant to here. If the people going to this movie theater and the atmosphere in the movie theater is one of terrible things, and maybe that will be Moshav Leitzim. But anyways, he continues.
But what does he mean by toiva? Does it mean that a man and a woman kissing? Is that toiva?
So we'll get to more specific definitions later on in the shiur. I think he would consider that toiva. I think
so. You're kind of limiting, like,
absolutely, absolutely, no question about it. We'll get to that. And yes, if you're talking about from a strict, purely halachic perspective, we will see what I'm aware of to be probably the most lenient views, you know, that one can find within, you know, the orthodox, you know, halachic sphere. I didn't go looking for conservative tshuvot. I didn't go looking for reform tshuvot, if they exist. But yes, I've collected really from what I think goes from one extreme to the other. I didn't bring many of those that refer to the extreme that says, you know, this is not even a question, because I think we know that those exist. I think we are brought up on a lot of those things, and that TV is the biggest evil that ever existed, and that movies are the biggest evil that ever existed. And if we weren't brought up on it, I can assure you all, such an opinion exists, and it's quite strong out there in the world. And he continues, he goes on, right? He says, you know, by the way, in thinking back to the other shiurim that we had, you know, other leisure activities, he continues, okay? Actually, before he continues, we get to TVs. Ein shum hevdel bin kolnoa la televizia. He says there's no difference between a movie theater, and watching it on TV. Ve'adarabah, he says, in truth, it's the opposite. Ha televizia chamura yoter. Okay, having a television is worse than going to a movie. You know why? Ki hi mitzuya kol sha'a beveito shel adam, vigoremet lo bitul Torah yoter mikol noa. And again, focusing on it from the perspective of Bittul Torah, and talking to a yeshiva bachar, he says, listen, to go to a movie once in a while, Bittul Torah. To have a TV in your house, a lot more potential for Bittul Torah. Right? I think we can all relate to that. Certainly that's the case. Okay?
So the E's garbage day tomorrow,
I think we should wait till the end of this year first.
Okay.
But anyways,
electronics is a different day, I think.
Nevertheless, he says, Vilachain ain't kedai lehaviah habaita. Right? It's not kedai. It's not worthwhile to have a TV. Again, to hear, you know, thunder and lightning, anybody who has a TV will be, you know, stricken down by that lightning. I don't know. I don't hear that. I hear Bittul Torah and very strong considerations. And it's really something that we should be thinking about more. But the reality is, he's talking about it. It's not really something so bad to be doing in your spare time. It's a Bittul Torah consideration. You have to weigh that against Bittul Torah like we did in shiur number one. And that's something important. But again, it's not something so stringent, but it is coming from someone who in general is fairly open to society. And he talks about, you know, listening to musica. He says, even v'efshar gam shirei am v'chadome shein bahem shum divrei minuta toiva. He says, possibly even folk songs and similar things that don't have any heresy or you know, inappropriate language in them would be okay. There's no ister. Imein bahem bitul Torah. Kigon b'shashu ayefu machlif koach. Again, if you're relaxing, listen to a bit of music is a great thing to do. And he says his final line: Hitzchazek b'limud Torah v'kasher tigdal yoter tavin tov yoter ta'erech ha'elyon v'niskav sheyesh b'koach limud Torah v'chazakta v'yitaliyish. Basically, go ahead. Now, in terms of TVs, in terms of movies, I figured I would bring you two views from the same person. Not that any of them is final. One is an opening to one of his comments on TVs, and the other one is a conclusion to another of his comments on TVs, as well as a few reasons that we would think to permit TV watching in general, as well as some refutations of those. But there will be a balance somewhere in between, and finally we'll make our way out to some of the more interesting tshuvos that I think are relevant to us, and some practical halachos from Rav Stav in relation to what we're discussing today. Okay, so Rav Shlomo Aviner is the one in the next two sources, source 2 and source number 3. He's, also a very well-known religious Zionist rabbi in Israel. And he talks about in Tehor Sfataim, which is one of his books, Sheila shelo paska me'az humtza makshir ha-televizya hi ha'im yesh isur atzmi be'etzem hachnasat ha-televizya baita. Is there a problem of having a television in your house? Says that's the question that everybody's been asking from when TV was invented. Be'etzem ha-makshir ha-nikra televizya in Kol Ra. And as he says, a television, factually speaking, is not bad. A television isn't good, and a television isn't bad. You know what a television is? A television. Okay? Ha-televizya hi kli. Uvi-kli ze, kemo v'chol kli, nitan la-sot ra v'la-sot tov. Just as this is a tool, it's an instrument. You can do good with it. You can do bad with it. There are choices to be made. Kishem shelo nishali mutar lehachnis habayta iparon lamrot shenitan yeh lichtov vodivrei genai. He says, for example, nobody's come to me asking yet, can I bring a pencil into my house? You know, you can write bad words with a pencil. Can I bring a pencil into my house? He says, no one asked me that question. What about a table? Velo nisham lehachnis shulchan lamrot shenitan lechol alav machalot asurim. He says, no one says, can I bring in a table to my house? You know, you can use a table to eat pork on the table. Says, no one asked me this question. Why? Because it's ridiculous. The same question he says about a TV, at first glance, is ridiculous. A TV can be used for good or bad. If you're using it to watch inappropriate material, waste time, do bitul Torah, it's bad. If you're using it for constructive purposes, let's say, what we would consider a constructive purpose right now, and I'm not saying this as a psak halacha, but if someone watches the news, okay? Or, especially in Israel, you can have more religious content on TV. Certainly, that could serve as a constructive purpose. If that's the case, the television is what you make of it, right? Or
a nature show or something. It's educational.
Right, a nature show, educational things. And, you know, we don't address... Poskim that I brought in this year don't quite address kids a lot, but that'll also be something to think about. Plenty of educational material for children. Plenty of, you know, hot air and wasteful television for kids. Something to think about. You know, there may very well be things that are positive on TV that we can use, that we can see, you know, better than whatever else we'd be doing, ostensibly. And again, that's true about TV. So, if you watch good things, TV is good. If you watch bad things, TV is bad. No one would say that there's something wrong with bringing it into your house. However, as he finishes off, well, it depends on what's shown on television, right? And when you see him, probably a little while later, writing in Sheilat Shlomo number 4, here's what he has to say. Shema Tomru, maybe you will say, B'televizya yesh gam tvarim tovim, v'anu neidal livrar. Says, maybe you'll say that on television there are also good things. We know how to choose between the good and the bad. He says, V'chi b'tiatron ha'yevani lo hayu gam tvarim tovim. And here he's already made reference to all of these cases earlier. He says, you're not allowed to attend Greek theaters. Chazal said, no attending Greek theaters. Why? He says, you don't think there were positive things in there? Relaxation. All the same arguments, he says, you can make about TV. You might be able to make about that. V'chi b'sefer Immanuel lo hayu gam tvarim tovim. And famously, there's a sefer that the poskim forbid to read, called Sefer Immanuel, which is a romance novel. Right? Again, he says, you think there's nothing good in there? There's not also clean parts? No! Right? Ela shechachamim gazru gzira kolelet. The rabbis made a general gzera, ki lo yitachein, and as he says, it's not possible, shim hapri hatov, that with the good fruit, lo yivla ha'adam gam psolet. that a person won't also swallow some of the waste. V'chein ha'nisayon maran, here's what he says, and he says, I will tell you, in my experience, shekol mi shemachzik televizia beveito gam bolea kamuyot gdolot shemarot migarei tzarim. He says, practically speaking, people that have televisions in their house, you're asking me my opinion on TVs, he says, I'll tell you. You see that most people that have TVs in their house tend to not be those who are always watching nice things and good things. The facts are, sometimes you end up watching things that are not so great. And that, he says, is the reality. And he's misakem, he summarizes his response here with a very sharp line. Rav Aviner is not known for mincing his words, shall we say. And he writes, Ha'isur lahachzik televizya ino chumra ela min hadin. Says, therefore, if you'd asked me the prohibition to keep a television, not a stringency, but based on a law. Omnam kashe lemishe hurgali natek mimenu. He says, however, it's very hard for someone who's used to it to get rid of it. Ktzat kemo mishe mit makem lesamim. Says, you know what it's like? It's someone who's a drug addict. Ukefishe kinta sociologit achat et televizia hasam im hateka. So it doesn't have the same ring in Hebrew as it does in English. As what one sociologist nicknamed the TV what? The drug with the plug. Okay? And he's quoting this in Hebrew. Hasam im hateka doesn't quite sound the same, but the message gets across. He's saying is, at the end of the day, number one, he says it's, you know, an isser in his opinion to have a television because people will end up watching too many bad things. On the other hand, what he says is, you know, we realize that it's very hard for people to get away from this. And the reality is, he's talking to an audience of lots of people that have televisions. Right? Now, the next response in Shelat Shlomo there, part of 312, okay, is actually a response to someone who says, hey, what are you talking about? I have two heterim for watching TV. And two heterim that say, even if you do watch bad stuff along with the good stuff, it's okay because it's not necessarily intentional, that's not really what you have it for. So if there's an ad that, you know, features something inappropriate, then don't worry too much about it. So this person brought two sources. Number one, which is really going to be the main source in this discussion, and how far we extend this, and the answer is Poskim extend this to different lengths, is the question of laundry being washed in public. Okay? The Torah, Yeshaya tells us, Ve'osem einav mir'ot bera. Okay? He shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says, and we're referring to men here, so I apologize to the women, they may be bored for the next little while. Amar Abba, Zeh she'ein mistakel benashim b'sha'a she'omdot al hakvisa. This refers to one who doesn't look at women while they're standing over the laundry, as what they would do is while they were doing laundry in the lake, they would lift up their clothing so it wouldn't get wet. Sometimes you could see a little bit too much. The question of how much, you know, that's a good question for the Gemara, but the point is that this was something inappropriate. It wasn't, you know, literally just looking at a woman doing laundry. That's not what the problem was. It was something beyond that, something inappropriate. Ask the Gemara, Hei Chidami, what was the case here? Idi ika darka achrita, meaning we're praising someone for closing their eyes when they go by these women, you know, washing the laundry. Says the Gemara, I ika darka achrita, if there's another way for him to walk. Meaning there's two paths. One runs down this side, one runs down this side. This side goes right by all the women doing laundry in the lake, and this one is nowhere near them. Says, if there's another way for him to go, Rasha who? The guy's a Rasha. Right? Idaleka darka achrita. Okay? If there's no other way, anusu. Right? Then again, he's forced. There's nothing to do, right? Says the Gemara, la'olam deleka darka achrita. Fafilu hachi mibaye lemeinas nafshei. Right? And says the Gemara, right? And we'll read the English. Alternatively, if it is referring to a case where there's no other way by which he can reach his destination, he's a victim of circumstance. So why is he required to shut his eyes? The Gemara explains, actually, it's referring to a case where there is no other way by which he can reach his destination. Even so, he is required to compel himself to avoid gazing at the women. And this is a praiseworthy thing, right? It's a nice drasha that you're supposed to do, that you're supposed to close your eyes even when you're forced to go that way, and there was no other way that you could reach your destination. Nevertheless, the Gemara says you should close your eyes. Now, here's going to be the question in regards to TV, in regards to movies, in regards to all of these above. You're allowed to engage in regular, normal behavior. Regular, normal behavior includes walking from point A to point B. If you want to go to the supermarket, you walk from point A to point B. Now, will we consider all of these circumstances where there's something bad along with something good? Will we consider those ika darka achrita? or leka darka achrita? Will we consider that there is another option, or there's not another option? Meaning, do we tell the person, watching the news is not a normal thing to do? Or watching the news can be done in another fashion by which you will avoid, let's say, seeing an inappropriate advertisement, for example. Right? So, do we tell someone, because, you know, you can do this by listening to the radio instead, therefore it's considered ika darka achrita, and what the person is doing by watching TV is that makes him a rasha? Or do we say this is all falling under one normal thing that people do, which is to watch the news on TV? And you want to watch it on TV because everybody watches the news on TV, you can see a visual of what's going on, and it's very important to you for that reason. And you can't get the same experience listening to the radio. If that's the case, then we say it's considered leka darka achrita, there's no other way. And the person should close their eyes. But at the end of the day, we're not going to call them a rasha for doing so. We're going to say, you got to do what you got to do. You got to listen to the news. You got to watch the news. And this is really the main point of contention as to what falls under this. Okay, Rav Aviner, on the other hand, to respond to this person who said this Gemara, says, I think, therefore, watching TV is a normal thing people do. If on the side there's some things that are not so great, I close my eyes, whatever it is, I don't close my eyes, but I'm not a rasha for doing so. It's not a big avera. It's an onus. It's a normal thing to watch TV. Anything that comes alongside that is an onus. Rav Aviner responds, and he says, well, it depends. Okay? If you look at the Mishnah Berurah talking about the halachos of men seeing women in, you know, various, or looking at women in various inappropriate ways, whether that be women that are covered and still men looking at them for some sort of pleasure, or whether it's women that are uncovered, okay? Talking about simply seeing, right? As someone goes, without enjoying is permitted, if not from a Moser perspective. Meaning, from the standard halacha is, if a woman is properly dressed, you know, according to whatever standards are appropriate, according to halacha, which is a whole separate shir. But then looking at her, he says, there's nothing wrong with seeing a woman. Nothing wrong with walking by a woman. Right? It's fine. Now, he says,
why are there pictures in all the Jewish magazines? The Frum magazine, if there's nothing wrong with it.
Clearly, they are frumer than the Mishneh Berurah. Or they want to be mitzad hamusar. Or Adam Chashuv Yesh Lelizayr. I mean, also, we're not even talking about pictures, talking about real. Not that there is a difference between pictures and real. You know, certainly one can't see a woman dressed immodestly even in a picture. And that's very, very clear. It's clear about movies as well. But that's one thing. And he basically says, when you're walking down the street and this just happens to happen, so you're not watching it. You're not making an effort to say, I'm going to sit down and watch this now. But with the news, with advertisements, it's all an active watching. It's not sort of a passive, like it happened to be, I innocently came across this. It says with TV, that's just simply not the case. That's Rav Aviner's counter. And, you know, the next source that this person quotes is, again, a very similar case. And if someone wants to read this, my Greek, you know, reading skills are not that great. Anybody want to give it a try in source number 6? Anybody familiar with Greek names? Okay. Proclus.
I think that's Aphrodite.
It is Aphrodite. Very good.
That's the only one that I
have. Proclus, the son of Plospus, asked Rabbi Gamliel in Akko when he bathed in the baths of Aphrodite, where there was an image of the star Venus, according to Rambam. According to other people, there was not an image of the star Venus, there was an image of the woman Venus. He says, it is written in your Torah, and let naught of the spoil adhere to your hand. Why then do you bathe in the baths of Aphrodite? He answered, one does not answer questions of Torah in the bathhouse, because they're naked. When he went out, he said, I did not enter Aphrodite's border, she entered my border. Meaning the bathhouse was there, and then afterwards, you know, they made the bathhouse for Aphrodite. And again, we do not say let us make a bathhouse as an ornament for Aphrodite, but let us make an Aphrodite as an ornament for the bathhouse. Okay, and she's secondary. And whatever. Another indication that the Aphrodite was placed for ornament and not for worship. Even if they gave you a great deal of money for doing so, you would not go to your idolatry naked, etc. And he basically says, this is simply for ornament, not for worship. Now, you can read through the rest of it. The point is, this person comes to Rav Aviner and he says, let me tell you something. According to everybody other than Rambam, there was a statue of Venus in the bathhouse. There appears to have been some sort of statue of Aphrodite. Rabbi Gamliel's going and coming from the bathhouse, and he's seeing what almost certainly is not a very appropriate statue. How could Rabbi Gamliel do that? There are probably other bathhouses around. Maybe there weren't other bathhouses around. Right? And so he talks about it. He says, first of all, you have the Rambam. Second of all, again, he's not looking at it just as he's coming and going. It's not a focus on it. Like, again, sitting down to watch TV, he says, is still different than happening to come across something. But then he has a really sharp line at the end. As I said, he doesn't like to mince his words, so he continues. He says, it should also be said that if the entire damage and destruction of television was that once in a while we should see a statue, I don't know why they corrected the stature, but we should see a statue of Aphrodite in an old Greek or Roman style, our situation would be very good. He says, halavai, that should be the problem here. He says, if TV was just statues of Aphrodite in an old Greek or Roman style, then we'd be a lot better off.
Could you say that the sensitivity of people to images is different now than it was then? In other words, since everything is out there, this seems silly. But back then, that might have been much more impactful.
You could. We'll touch upon a little bit of that in the halacha section, which we're going to get to soon. And whatever. So we do have, you know, Rav Aviner, very, very strong against TV. On the other hand, you do see there's a certain balance in these cases, again, in what we consider normal. And as a result, what comes ancillary to that, or what comes along with that, or what comes as a side point that may or may not be allowed. Meaning, again, there clearly are allowances in certain cases. How those may apply to TV really depends on the posek you ask. Some poskim, like Rav Aviner, say, hey, this is just not allowed. Other poskim, like, as we're going to see, you know, Rav Stav a little bit, will say, yeah, you know, it may not be such an issue. Because, you know, this is a normal thing to do, a regular thing to do. It's a fair use of your time. And there's no other way to watch this educational movie other than to experience the ads that come before it. Okay, so you experience the ads that come before it. That doesn't mean that you're going out to do that. It is interesting to note, by the way, there are circumstances under which poskim allow TVs. Poskim no smaller than a Rav Adya Yosef. First of all, okay? Question 4a. A person whose parents are old and have nothing to do, asked if they're allowed to bring in a television into their house, on condition they will watch only clean shows, and they will not show them to the grandchildren. Okay? That's the question. So he says, answer, it should be prohibited to them. However, if they already bought one in, you should turn a blind eye. So first of all, we already see in some cases willing to say, we realize that people have these things, don't go and make a balagan. Okay? And halavai, everybody should be saying, you know, I'm going to watch only clean shows and I'm not going to let my grandkids watch. By the way, similar to old people, are very young kids. Again, very young kids can be watching lots of educational shows on TV. And again, Kal Vachomer in Israel, where you may even have religious content. It's not so clear-cut to say that, yeah, this would be such a terrible thing. But let's look at the next case, which hopefully we should never have to experience anything like this. But again, these realities do exist, and it just shows you that there is a door that's opening, and that in certain cases, Poskim will tell you this is something that's okay to do with your time. Shela. Okay, next question. A woman who suffers from muscular dystrophy, lo aleinu, and many other illnesses, and the doctor recommended they should allow her to watch TV. They asked if it's possible to bring one in, and only she will watch, and they'll place it in a closed cabinet. And he says, basically, turn a blind eye, provide her with the television. Right, that's what he says. He says, vela tetla. You should. So there are, again, some circumstances which Poskim will say, based on what's going on, if the person's watching something that's appropriate. So it's not such a terrible thing. Does that mean every case? No. Does that mean all of us? Not necessarily. But realizing that, A, this is something that there are times when it's permitted, meaning it can't be the biggest avera. If it's an avera, they wouldn't let, you know, these people be having this going on. Rav Adya Yosef would not say yes. On the other hand, again, to some extent, it depends on what's going on around us, what we feel, what's normal. There are certain things that will be allowed. There are certain things that will not be allowed. Certainly, if you'd ask Rav Adya Yosef or Rav Adya, should I get a TV? He'd tell you no. I'm pretty certain. But we do see, again, that sometimes these are okay. And now we get back to Rav Chaim David Halevi in a completely different tshuva. And this one, I said this was the one my wife liked. Because she's always trying to get me to come with her to a movie. This will be the highlight of the recording, I'm sure, for her. And she says, come on, why can't we go to this kid? Even a kid's movie, if you want it to be clean, so it'll be clean. Can you come with me? So this was exactly, literally the question asked to him in Aseilah Harav 163, from someone who says, my wife wants me to go to a movie, and it'll be good for our Shalom Bayis for me to go. You know, I think, thankfully, my wife is more understanding, and even if we don't go to movies, Baruch Hashem, our Shalom Bayis is still fantastic. But he says, based on the assumption, and he says, if we're talking about a clean movie, he says, based on the assumption that all movies and films that you see will be properly censored, Okay? Meaning, based on that, he says, therefore, before I wrote you this response, I checked. He says, and it was confirmed to me that there are indeed movies like this, that they themselves do not contain any avera, such as those that depict historical events, depict the lives of great figures, or nice views of nature, or musical movies, etc., etc., etc. Okay? He says there are movies that exist, at least in his time, however many years ago this was, that in his opinion are clean of avera. So he says, it's possible that due to Shalom Bayit can be permitted to you to go with your wife to movies such as these. But, one concern, he says, the great concern that I'm afraid of is the concern of Chilul Hashem, because all those who recognize you as a yeshiva boy in the past and do not know the reason that brought you to this might begin to think badly of B'nai Torah, as is the way of people, right? They see, you know, the guy, oh, he used to be in such a big yeshiva and such a good yeshiva, and now he's going and watching movies, going to the movie theater. What are people going to think? What are people going to say? So he says, I'll tell you what to do. Therefore, I would suggest that you go to another city where they don't know you. Don't go to the Richmond Hill, you know, Cinema City or whatever it is. Go to the one that's out in Markham, right? Says, go to another city where they don't know you. Through this, you'll avoid the Chilul Hashem, right? So you travel a little bit away, and fine, that's what it is. And again, certainly in terms of movies, there is leniency when the movies are clean or appropriate. You know, to see them, if this is something that people enjoy doing as a leisure activity, and you're not dealing with cases of bittul Torah, where again, a person has a certain amount of leeway that they have the right to do with their time what they wish. Certainly for women, a lot of the issues relating to going to movies are non-existent, because a lot of them, again, revolve around tznius and things that are generally from, you know, from a man's perspective, prohibited. Again, not that, you know, something very explicit should be watched by anybody, but again, the concerns are considerably less. But even for men, if there are movies that are clean, you know, we have certain things that we have to balance. We have to balance the Chilul Hashem aspect. We have to balance the Talmud Torah aspect. We have to balance, again, you know, what is this going to cause us to do, even from, again, a sociological perspective and a psychological perspective, and is this a good thing? Is this going to make us lazy? You know, there are things to consider. But all in all, there are many cases where we do see Poskim saying, you know what, watching TV is okay here, provided it's generally clean. Watching a movie is okay here, provided that it's clean. It's not something that's so crazy to think about, like we might have thought, right? I shouldn't quote this on the recording, but I will anyways. I was running by the idea for the series past a couple of people in the shul, and one of them told me in the name of someone very smart, they said, no one's going to want to come to a shir on movie watching. I can tell you that because no one's going to want to hear the answer. So, anyways, I think we're a little bit surprised to say there are certain cases under which poskim, especially ones as you get closer and closer to the societies that we live in and the realities that, again, many of us, if not all of us, have TVs. And many of us, if not all of us, are watching them. And again, there may be an ideal, but yes, there are many ideals, and there are some circumstances under which what we're doing is not such a terrible thing to do. Now, Rav Stav, I would say, is probably one of the most lenient, if not the most lenient, opinion that I saw in regards to a lot of these halachos. I'll run through quickly some of the stuff that he has to say. Again, my summary of it. Every once in a while, there's something that I put in that I think he would say, as a result of something that he said in there that's not 100%, but in general it's what he has to say. Okay, so now, the rabbis prohibited attending a threeder for five reasons. Avodah Zarah, Chukas HaGoyim, murder, Moshe Vlezim, Bittul Torah. Avodah Zarah, Chukas HaGoyim, murder, as we said last week, are no longer relevant, hopefully. Moshe Vlezim, Bittul Torah are, you know, questionable. So, if there is a production with educational value and is not opposed to Torah values, it would be permitted to attend it, provided there are no actual prohibited activities. Although Rav Moshe Feinstein doubts that this is practically possible. Okay, says Rav Moshe, if you asked Rav Moshe, is there such a thing as a clean movie? No. He couldn't find one. He couldn't find one. However, again, it depends on what your definition of clean is. Again, kids' movies and things like this. Again, other than potentially Kol Isha issues for men.
Okay,
all right.
Yes.
Right? But again, women... Again.
No women singing.
Right? Or, you know, there are heterim that poskim discuss in regards to women singing, right? And again, those are relevant here. If a posek would permit it because it's a digital sound, if a posek would permit it because you don't know what the woman looks like, right? And it's a different voice than the actual actor in the movie, right? I mean, you know, there are different leniencies with regards to that as well, but those are not what we're discussing now. And I'm not coming to say that more movies are mutter. I'm just simply providing you with what Rav Stav notes, and he says permissible movie watching would follow the same criteria. Okay? And he says if you find movies which don't contain any Yisurim in them, okay? Now, let's take a look at the media by which you may or may not watch a movie. Well, Rav Chaim David Halevi, originally, in the first tshuva we saw today, seems to issue a blanket prohibition over watching movies in any form. It may be possible to understand him as prohibiting attending a theater due to Chil Hashem, but permitting watching television at home. Now, how did he get that from Rav Chaim David Halevi? Well, if we think about the first tshuva, he says television is much worse. You think of the second tshuva, what's his only concern about movie watching?
People will see
you. Chil Hashem, people will see you. So he says, based on that, it's not unreasonable to say that watching TV at home is not such a bad thing. Again, he doesn't recommend having a TV. And he says one should be careful not to own a TV since passive viewing causes laziness and other bad things. He says even from Amito's perspective, he says he thinks TV is not a good idea. But, I mean, again, he doesn't write outright that it's usser. He's, I think, careful not to, he says. You know, you should watch out for it. But again, although it would be technically permitted to watch appropriate shows on it. In regards to watching movies on the internet, it's permitted based on the same criteria. Again, if it's something appropriate, fine. But one should make sure, again, take the proper cautions to avoid any possible lapses into inappropriate material by filtering, by putting it in a public place, etc., etc. Now, what about when we get to the real world, which is that there are very few movies that fit this criteria, and there are many other movies that may be good movies and may be valuable, but here or there they may have a swear word, here or there they may have an inappropriate scene. So what do you do about that? So, it is prohibited to hear inappropriate or degrading language. However, when bad language is not central to the movie, and there's only a small amount, it is not possible to prohibit watching such a film, since this is considered the way people speak, but we should be careful not to be influenced by them. At the end of the day, and this is, you know, this is something that I have thought for a long time, and didn't see it in writing until now, which is that when we talk about swearing, swearing is sometimes so basic to the society that we live in, it almost loses its shock value, and it can also lose some of its halachic value. If it's, you know, no longer a curse word and no longer a swear word for someone to throw in something inappropriate in the middle of what they're saying, that was so bad, right? So apparently Rav Stav is of the opinion that you could make the argument to say that such swearing is not something that you have to be worried about from the perspective of the halachos of hearing nivel peh. It wouldn't qualify as that anymore, and therefore may be permitted. Now, he says, obviously, again, we don't want people to be using this language.
Right.
That's a terrible thing. And he says, watch yourself that you don't get degrading. But, right, that may not be a factor. You know, if there's one swear word in it, then maybe you can overlook that. Certainly, again, if you know something's coming up, then you can mute it or something like that. That would be even better. Again, he says, it's prohibited for men to listen to the singing voice of a woman. It is also prohibited for men to look at any part of a woman in a sexual way. However, simply seeing women in a play or movie, if they are dressed appropriately, and again, to whatever extent that goes, does appropriately mean, you know, that they have every inch of their skin covered? Probably he wouldn't say so. He would probably be a little bit more lenient with that. And he says, we do not need to be concerned that people have inappropriate thoughts because of what he says, the way society runs. But if they're dressed inappropriately, it's certainly prohibited for a variety of reasons. And he continues, in terms of defining what would be inappropriate to watch in terms of content that does not fall into the above, his particular case is, you know, a couple embracing and hugging. I don't remember if he says kissing or not, but it may fall into the same category. So you have a couple who's kissing. So he says, well, it depends. If the purpose of the portrayal is to arouse inappropriate thoughts, if it's meant to be a romance, he says, then it would be prohibited. But if it was for the purpose of happiness, meaning people haven't seen each other in 5 years, and they're coming off the boat and they run into each other's arms, he says that would be okay, right? Or if it's, you know, for the purpose of drama, it would be permitted. But again, it's very hard, he says, to give a general rule on something like this. You need to look at case by case and consider what, you know, will really lead people to inappropriate thoughts, what won't lead people to inappropriate thoughts in a case like this. And now here's the, you know, what I think people would consider the most extreme. And in fact, one of the people writing a haskama on his book said that they disagreed with this part very, very strongly, and that's what they wrote in their Haskama. So that should be enough of a statement about it. But, he says, if there is a very valuable movie from an educational perspective, however it has some light objectionable material, it would be permitted to simply close one's eyes during that part. However, it is hard to apply this to more serious inappropriate content. So he says, if there's some value to watching the movie, again, what are you going to consider value? What are you going to consider educational value? What are you going to consider leisure value? These are tough questions. You can't give a general rule, You can look at it from a specific case, and you can look at it honestly based on what we know about ourselves. If we think that this is something valuable for us, he says. And within the movie, there's one scene where, you know, a couple kisses. And it's meant to be romantic. So, fast forward through it for a second. Close your eyes if you're at the movie theater. That's not the end of the world. He says, however, obviously, if there's something that's very explicit, he says that you really shouldn't rely on this. But he's again saying that this falls under the halachos of there's only one path. Saying you're watching it, it's very valuable to be watching this movie, and therefore it's considered an onus. What should you do? You got to close your eyes. Okay? Again, if you can have someone in advance fast forward it for you, all that's all great. And again, and just one last point, which actually relates to some things. Plays and presumably movies which portray scenes from Tanakh and or Midrashim and will serve to help people relate to them are appropriate. Okay, he's of the opinion they're appropriate. He does bring an opinion, though, that some feel is too degrading to Tanakh to depict it in a film or play. I remember having this machlokas with a classmate of mine once upon a time about watching, you know, some of these movies, which on the one hand allows you to relate to the miracles that were happening in the Torah, even if not 100%, you know, exactly the way we would necessarily illustrate it. On the other hand, it does give us some sort of value from that perspective. The other person says, no, it limits. Then you think that that's a reality. But anyways, it is a machlokas. One more question, and then we'll seal up shop for the night.
There's the Israeli series Shtisel, which is hugely popular across all backgrounds. Mm-hmm. One of the subplots is one of the guy having an affair with a non-Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, what would they say to that? And that's part, you know.
Right. Again, it depends. For him, for Avstav, it's all about weighing the value of it versus the detriment of it. If it's something, you know, again, if there's something explicit in it that someone's purposely, you know, exposing themselves to, then that's very obviously going to be a problem. If it's something that you know when the scene is starting, you can skip through it and you're not going to miss out too much important stuff, and you're the type of person that can do that, then he would say, great. You know, if it's just something that's very minor that, you know, listen, unfortunately, we know that people have affairs. You know, how much of inappropriate thoughts does that have? Well, it depends on what's being depicted. And that, you know, really, he would say, you have to be the judge, but based on, again, what you feel is really appropriate. I think overall, we can sort of get these ideas from what he has to say, that these would be his psakim. I would suggest that, you know, if anybody has private chalas, they should ask the Rav. But the reality being that we as a society are way more on the, we all have TVs, and we're all watching them, and to keep that in mind when we're thinking of who people are talking to in all these contexts, and what people are watching anyways, and what is considered normal, what's considered derech, you know, one route. These are all important considerations. Again, in an ideal world, maybe, you know, in North America, people wouldn't have as many TVs as they do because of the stuff that's being watched and going on. But on the other hand, realizing that under certain circumstances, there still is value to valuable things. And if valuable things, whether that be teaching kids the alphabet, or whether that be educational shows for adults, or even sometimes the right type of relaxation and entertainment, then there is what to begin discussing in a lot of these cases. I think that's the bottom line. Overall, this gives us a bit of a picture. I want to thank you all for coming out to this year and to the series in general.
Thank you.
I'm always happy for any feedback, questions, suggestions, or ideas for the future. Shkoyach.